And so I look at that and I say, you know, man, you can just sit back and you can whine and you can complain, or you can just do it. You can just do it. And I realize all that I have in Christ Jesus. And I say, God, you know, with every breath, no matter what happens to me, or no matter how I live or how I go down or whatever the situation might be, I'm going to walk in victory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Winners Just Do It, Losers Make Excuses. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Winners Just Do It, Losers Make Excuses.
Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. And so now all I got to do is walk in victory. You know, see, we need to get up every morning and do like Miss America, right? As soon as you get out of bed. What is that? That's the victory walk. On your way to the bathroom. When you look in the mirror. That's the victory walk. You see, winners, you know, there's a song that I used to listen to by Fleetwood Mac. And it said, thunder only happens when it's raining, and players only love you when they're... So if a player is not playing, then he don't love you. But see, a winner loves you whether you're playing or not. Whether he's playing or not, the winner loves you at all times. But a player only loves you when he's playing. And I began to think about that. And I began to think back over my life as an athlete. And I knew some great athletes. I played football with some guys that lined up in the NFL. Great athletes. And the thing about a great athlete is that if that great athlete is not being featured, or that great athlete is not, we'll say wide receiver, is not getting the ball like they should, then you really begin to see what kind of character they have. You really begin to see what kind of individual they are. Because then that's when, what? The complaints start coming out. See, is that, yo, if it's about team, and if it's about team winning, whether I'm getting my 9 catches a game, whether I'm throwing for my 300 yards a game, whether I'm rushing for my 100 yards a game, it don't make any difference if the team is winning. But a player, what, complains? Because he's not getting his. And so that really lets you know that we have a lot of great athletes that are not winners. They're just great athletes. I worked out, I mean, I coached a guy, and if I called his name, everybody here would know it. One of the greatest tight ends to ever line up in the NFL. He could have been. 6'5", about 245, and ran about a 4.5, 4.6 40. He should have been destined for the Hall of Fame. But this guy had poor work habits. He depended solely on his athletic ability. Solely on his athletic ability. And as a result of that, you know, he didn't last that long, and he didn't live up to his ability. Why? Because he was a player. And players only love you when they're playing. But winners love you at all times. And a winner has a mindset of victory, and despite the circumstances, they have victory, as Paul tells us, victory over death. And that's the greatest victory that anybody could ever have. We see, secondly, that the believer not only has victory over death, but the believer has victory over the devil. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And it says here that Christ in verse 14, blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities, that's the devil and all of his forces, and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That he triumphed openly over the devil. And so people walking around talking about, man, you know, the devil beat me up. The devil just got me. And so you begin to make excuses, and you get like Flip Wilson, and you say, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil, first of all, you got victory and power over the devil. You are a Nike Christian. You got, man, saints, we need to start walking in the victory and stop being afraid. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not afraid of the devil. I remember before I got saved, I was afraid of the devil. I watched The Exorcist, man. I didn't want to go back into my room. I was afraid. And now that I'm a Christian and I see and I've read the end of the book and I see who wins and I see the victory that God has given me, I don't walk around in fear of the devil. Now, he'll attack us, and he'll do all the, and I believe that he can attack us. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so what can the devil do that God doesn't let him do? Just ask Job about that. The devil could only go as far as God would let him. And so we have victory over death. We have victory over Satan. And then we have Nike, or victory over the world. And this is our passage that we've been looking at, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the Nike that Nikes the world, even our faith. Who is he that Nikes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Believers, victory. And why is it that we have so many Christians that are walking around discouraged and defeated and with their head tucked between their tail, walking away? When we got all this victory and we're on the winning side and we have everything that we need, and yet and still we act like we're losers. We act like we're getting ready to take the last train out of town because things are getting ready to shut down. And I look and I just see so many discouraged and defeated Christians. I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know what? A couple weeks ago, it's been a whole year, over a year, that every morning I wake up, I got something wrong with me. Every day I wake up and I got something wrong with me. I'm dealing with major issues right now. And so I look at that, and I say, you know, man, you can just sit back, and you can whine, and you can complain, or you can just do it. You can just do it. And I realize all that I have in Christ Jesus. And I say, God, you know, with every breath, no matter what happens to me or no matter how I live or how I go down or whatever the situation might be, I'm going to walk in victory. I'm not going to use excuses. I'm not going to come up with things why I can't do this and why I can't do that. Because you said in the word that I'm a winner. And look at the bottom of the PowerPoint. Excuses are not affiliated with victory. Excuses don't line up. If you put victory right here, there's no way in victory's path can an excuse line up. It has to move off to the side. And so if you are making excuses for yourself, why you're not the father, the husband, why you're not the employee, why you're not the Christian, why you're not the family individual that you should be, then you're not even lining up with this victory that God has given us. It's actually an oxymoron for a Christian that's not walking in victory. That's an oxymoron. That don't even line up right. That don't even make sense. We've got the victory. Now, let me show you something that's going to blow your mind, because it blew mine. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. It says here in verse 35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Look at Paul. Man, we are killed. We face death all day long. Now, you think you got problems, right? This man faced death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But look what he says here. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That word, that phrase, more than conquerors, comes from a Greek word, which is hupernikao, which is combining the word Nike with the prefix. And they, as soon as I get it up there on the screen, I'll be able to work with it. All right? It's combining this word Nike with a prefix. And the prefix is there a slide before that one? There you go, right there. All right, thank you. Hupernikao, from huper, which means over, and Nike, which means to conquer. Now, you're already Nike. You already overcome. You already are victors. You already are conquerors. So what does Paul do? I like what Tony Evans says. Paul puts Nike, watch this now, on steroids. He puts Nike on steroids. And so now you are no longer just a victor, just a conqueror, just a winner, but you are over and above a Nike Christian. You are super Nike. Whereas Nike was just good enough, because that means that you're on the winning side. That means that you're walking in victory. That was good enough. God, just make me a Nike Christian. I'll just be satisfied with being a Nike Christian. And God said, well, look, I'm not only going to make you a Nike Christian, but look, here goes some anabolic spiritual steroids. Just take these right here. And now we are more than conquerors. In every situation, and let's go back and look at this. He says, for I am persuaded, in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor thing to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is he persuaded that none of these things can separate him from God? Because he's a Nike Christian. Because he's a Nike on steroids. Wow. Away with these lame excuses that we come up with. Why we can't serve God, why we can't do this, or why we can't do that. Like I said, you know, there's reason. And we talked about that at length in the beginning of this series, that there's a big difference between a reason and an excuse. And there are reasons why some people can't do things, but a whole lot of people look at excuses as to why they can't. As we wind this message down, let me share with you a couple things. How do you walk in victory? How do you walk in victory? Well, number one, you've got to realize that Christ already won the victory, and all you got to do is walk in it. That's all you got to do. You know, wow, and this is blowing my mind, that the victory has already been won. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you can do to win a victory. As a Christian, there's nothing you can do. Paul already said here, we are super conquerors. We are over. We are more than conquerors. Anything that comes against us, life, death, principalities, things present, powers, things to come, height nor depth, nothing that comes against you, you can't deal with. Nothing, absolutely nothing that you can't deal with. Man, we could get this mentality out of our mind that these things come in our life and overwhelm. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You haven't been touched by. Yeah, maybe I haven't, but Paul was. This man was all, they almost killed him. As a matter of fact, one time they stoned him and left him for dead. Has that ever happened to you? Thank you, bro. We are super conquerors. No matter what. This discouraged, defeatist attitude. All you got to do is realize that the victory's already been won. Second, get a vision of what the victory looks like. Yeah, I'm trying to take off a few pounds. You know what I got? In my bedroom, there's a picture of me and my wife and a couple friends, when I was in college, and we were in Chicago. And I tell you, man, see, I can look back and say, man, brother, you was buff, man. You was buffed. And I look at that picture, and I say, yeah, there goes the vision right there. Maybe not with the head of hair that I had, maybe with a few more wrinkles, but there goes the vision. You know, I told my wife, I said, I got the body of a 20-year-old. And she said, well, you better give it back because you're getting it wrinkled. But I'm trying to get it, right? You got to have a vision of what victory looks like. You know, you got if you're a husband and you're struggling in a marriage, then you got to look, get a vision of what a good marriage looks like. You know, find somebody that got a good marriage and say, look, you know, and once again, I know they're not perfect and they might have issues, but look, there goes something. There goes something for me to shoot at. If you want to be a good father, and you need to have an image of what a good father looks like. You need to look at somebody that's patient and taking time and being a good father. If you want to be a good employee, then you need to see what a good employee looks like. If you want to be a great servant of God, then you need to see what somebody that's serving God with all their heart looks like. Get a picture of victory. And you got something to shoot for. We got the wrong pictures. This is one thing I tell young people. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. It's just like that guy who entered his mule into the Kentucky Derby. And you know, they got the form for the entry and saw that it was a mule. And so they called the guy up and they said, man, you know, and they went, well, you know, there's no way that the mule could have got in anyways. And so they just called the guy up to say, man, you know, it's unbelievable that you would even have the nerve and the audacity to think that you could enter a mule in the Kentucky Derby. Why in the world would you enter your mule in the Kentucky Derby? And the man said, well, I thought the association would do him good. So you need to get around the right folk. You need to see a vision. You need to see, you need to taste victory. You need to taste it. You need to see what it looks like. And then when you see what victory looks like, then you'll know how to walk in it. Number three. You need to do what it takes to keep walking in victory. And you know, we do all the things that we can. You know, you hear about people that lost all this weight, and then you ask them, you know, 3 or 4 years later, and they still got it off. What's your secret? The secret is they kept doing the same thing that they was doing, just modified a little bit once they lost the weight, and they didn't go back to their old habits before they lost the weight. So whatever it is that you're doing to walk in victory, you got to keep on doing it. Now, I can throw a couple things in there real quick. Spending time with God. You know, you're not going to have a victory if you're not spending time with God. You know, you should be able to, when you get up in the morning, you should be able to look over your day from yesterday. And if you didn't have the victory, if there was something maybe in your family, maybe on your job, maybe in your ministry, whatever it is, if you didn't succeed, if you didn't have the victory, if you didn't accomplish what God wanted you to do, you need to come before God and ask God, God, why did I get defeated? God, why did I get discouraged? God, why didn't I have the victory? And God will show you. And God will help you to make that adjustment so that you can walk in victory. Number four, you need to be sensitive when you're not walking in victory. And you know when that is, because you begin to talk to yourself. The first sign when you start talking negative stuff to yourself, then you just might as well, and we can roll on right down to point number five, and then you can understand that whenever you make an excuse, that is just accepting defeat. That is just accepting defeat. Well, you know, my daughter got married last night, and I didn't put my alarm beside my bed. Louis Loser from Loserville. Come on, man. What did I say? I had a guy. I went to the gym last week, man. There's this guy, he was coming and talking to me, and he was telling me all this stuff, and some of this stuff was outrageous. And you know what I did? I got me a piece of paper. And I put it in my pocket, and I wrote two words on that paper. Come on, man. And when he came up and started talking to me, he came up, and I reached into my pocket, and I said, look here, read this, man. And he read it, and he had to smile. He had to smile. Come on, man. You know, when you start making, come on, man. That don't fly around here. Let me close this morning. We need to overcome this whole excuse-making thing. And the way that we're going to do it is to walk in this victory that God has given us. God has given us the victory, and he tells us that we are more than overcomers. And I'm reminded of a song when I was growing up that really was a motivational song. And the first stanza of the song went something like this. We're a winner, and never let anybody say, boy, you can't make it, because a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry, and we have finally dried our eyes, and we're moving on up, moving on up. Lord, have mercy. We're moving on up. And the chorus of the song says, we're a winner. And never let anybody say, you can't make it, because a feeble mind is in your way. Let me rephrase that. We're a winner. And never let anybody say, boy, you can't make it, because excuses are in your way.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the new series on prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Winners Just Do It, Losers Make Excuses, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Winners Just Do It, Losers Make Excuses. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Winners Just Do It, Losers Make Excuses. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order them, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.